Greetings to you who are with us by way of internet this morning as well. And may the Lord richly bless you. What I'm going to just share with you for a while this morning is what I have just done for the August monthly CD. In fact, I sat down right here in this spot a couple of days ago and recorded the session for the monthly CD for August. So you who will be watching this, because I know that there's a good number of you who do watch these services on the internet, who receive those monthly CDs, and then there's some who do not. But you who do, that CD will be in the mail tomorrow, coming to you. So this will be an introduction to what you hear on that particular CD. So let me just get into this with you, because I'd really like to cover all of it without having to rush through it. And it has to do with what I've just been calling two phrases of Scripture that really caught the attention of my heart. I don't know how many times I've read them or how many hundreds of times that they've been read, but we do that very often. Believers who do search the Scripture, not just have a Bible reading every now and then, do that almost on a regular basis. They're doing just that. They're searching the Scriptures. They're going through the Scripture. And in many cases, the Spirit of the Lord will just seem to bring something, just a way of saying it, bring something right off of that page, and it calls your attention. That's the way it affects me, and I realize, and then it seems like the Spirit of God will just show me something, will just speak into my heart something, because that very thing that so to speak becomes so clear, or something that I haven't really seen before, I see that it speaks of Christ, or that the reality that is here, or whatever the phrase is fulfilled in Christ. What I'm trying to tell you is, I just see the Lord, because the Scriptures testify of Him, and that's even what when John was writing. That the Gospel of John, he writes there where when Christ was in one of the synagogues or close to one of the gathering places of the Jews of that day, that they handed him the book or a scroll, which was the book, and he began to talk to them out of it and began to quote for them, if not read, at least quote for them some of what the prophets had said. It was written there on that scroll. And when he would do that, he would bring himself. He wouldn't just leave it that away. He knew that they believed prophets, that the prophets, had written that, and but it was in one place where he said, I know that you, I know you search the scripture, is the way it's actually written. You do search the scripture, for in them you think that you have eternal life. And that was all true, and they understand that. They have been reading that, I'm sure, and they handed him the very book that they were reading it from. And so he understood what, you know, they're reading. And he said, for in them you think that you have eternal life. And then he said, and these are they that testify of me. And they weren't ready for that. But the Lord, as it were, just stepped into the scriptures, just stepped into the scroll. He identified what was written in that entire scroll. He identified himself with it, but more than that, he identified it with himself. And that's what they wouldn't receive. But what he said was, these are they that testify of me. And the word testify there, we've looked at that here together several times, but the word testify there is not just in reference to something that like in the past tense, that it at one time these verses testified of him. The word that is there shows that it is an ever ongoing testimony. The scripture that testify of him will always testify of him. Why? Because he of whom they all testify is eternal. He is eternal. He's eternal in who he is. He is eternal in what he does. He is eternal. He is the ever-living witness, living witness. Isn't that something? Of the testimony. We've got a testimony here. And this testimony has a living witness. That's why you can read the scripture, and the Spirit of the Lord will, in His own time, it's kind of like when He wants to do it, or when He knows that you're ready for Him to do it, but in His own time, He brings forth. He deals with your heart, with your soul. Because if the Spirit of Christ wasn't in you, you wouldn't be doing any of that anyway. But the Spirit Himself quickens within, to just open the eyes of your understanding. About what? About what you're reading. I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, a definition of it like you would find in a dictionary, because we do that here. You can do that too. But he's going beyond the depth of a dictionary. And he's just dealing with our hearts concerning not just the words of the scripture, not just, you know, but what has simply stood up, walked right into our midst, and said, "These are they which testify of me." Only it's just said right inside of your heart. It's the Spirit of the Lord allowing us to see the living witness of this written testimony. But the testimony is an ever-ongoing testimony. Why? Well, it's an ever-ongoing testimony because of the ever-ongoing witness of it. If the witness proved to not be true, then the testimony wouldn't be any good either. But Christ Himself is the proof of the testimony. He is the life of the testimony. And that's one of the things I want to talk to us about. Now, I've been wanting to do that for several weeks, but I sit here normally and start talking about what I'd like to do and never get it done. So I want to talk to us about life, but the life that Christ Himself is. Because, darling, that's really... I don't care if we read our Bible then till all the pages fall out. The only life that we would find in the Scriptures, or that we do find in the Scriptures, is Christ Himself. He, and so the Scriptures speak of that. Just think about this for a second. He walks up. They hand him this scroll. He comes in, let's say, to their meeting place. I'm sure that he does. And they hand him this scroll that they have been reading. And there he stands. And again, he doesn't actually relate himself to the Scripture. He relates those Scripture to himself. Because you see, hon, really, if you look back at Isaiah, Jeremiah, all of the writers, and even Paul, and all of the ones who write the epistles, if you look back and see the writers, well, if you did away with the writers, or if you did away actually with what they wrote, Christ would still be who He is. We'd have to be brought to Him in some other manner. Well, how long was Christ, 33 and a half years or so, and then He 3.5 years in ministry? There was no epistles of Paul while Jesus walked 3.5 years with His disciples, with the Jews, in the synagogues, with the Old Covenant role. We could say, with the book of the Old Testament. But He was there. And yet, the ones who declared Him as the gospel, such as Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and Paul and Peter, and none of them had written anything while He was there. This same Jesus, not another one, not another one, this same Jesus that I'm talking about, this same Jesus that you can look into the scripture, but you can see that he stood in front of people. He was with people, with his disciples. This same, what I just want to tell you, is this same Jesus is the one who now, by his Spirit, not by something else other than himself, by his Spirit, this same Jesus is the one who now lives in you. And we can't see him with the natural eye because he's there by his Spirit. But it's this same Jesus, because he was in the midst of them by his Spirit too. But they could only see him outwardly. And that's the reason so many of the things he would say to them, they couldn't understand. They couldn't bring any of that inward. They kept hearing it outwardly. They kept looking outward to see it or to feel it themselves and see what he was talking about and, you know, all of that. He knew he was on his way to the cross. And so he spoke to them concerning the life that would come forth out from the cross and the work that he would do. So that's Christ our life. Two of these things that I want to talk about, two phrases. One of them is newness of life. And you can look at Romans 6, verse 1 right now. Newness of life. And the second one is in Ephesians. Ephesians 1, or like 19 and 20, you'll see it there, Ephesians. I'll be reading it here as well. And that phrase is exceeding greatness of his power. As Paul saying that God would open the eyes of your understanding, that God, I'm praying that he would give you the spirit of understanding, of knowledge in the revelation of him, which is referring there to Christ. And that's Ephesians 1:18. Because he goes on to say, that you may know. There's a reason for this. And one of it was, part of those reasons, and it all, and Christ fulfilled every one of them, you know, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, it's Christ. That you may know what is, and he goes down the line and finally says, and what is, and actually the word what there in the classical Greek is who, but nonetheless, it's speaking of Christ. And he comes on down his line and says, and that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power. And I've never been able to get away from either two of these. And so I just keep, that's why I just keep looking at it in the scripture. So let's read this and then go a little farther. It's in Romans 6. And verse 1, but we're going to be looking at it's verse 4 is where we actually find this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? This is just the way it starts. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now we'll come back to some of this as we go along. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ? That's a spiritual baptism that he's talking about. That's a work of the Spirit of God that he's talking about. Because our life with Christ is not just a spiritual life. Honey, it's the Spirit of life. It's Christ himself, darling. So we come to verse 4. Wherefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up out from among the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's the phrase. It's the phrase that is still It's the thing that still I'm looking to see the fullness of that term. It just keeps enlarging this newness of life. And so we've read there, and in Ephesians. Ephesians 1, verse 18 and 19. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, that is the expectation given of God. It's Christ. It's Christ. And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Well, you see, hon, we have this treasure in us. We don't know the richness of it unless the Spirit of the Lord opens our eyes to it. We could stay here a while and just talk about Paul when he said, when he was talking about things just like that, how that he could do all things, I can do all things by Christ, through Christ, who strengtheneth me. And I've heard that preached and taught before, you know, on the radio or somewhere, but it's never what he's talking about, the thing that he's talking about, they never say anything on that. They'll say, you know, Paul says that I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ. And okay, go ahead and mention some of them that he mentions. Well, that nobody ever does that. But Paul does. He says, I can have everything or nothing. I can be here or I can be there. I can be full, I can be empty. I can be in need, or I can have it you know, just to put it in my terms, or I can have it just running out of my pockets. Why, Paul? Because he'll go on and tell us, because the riches, the glory, the calling, the power of God, all of that is the living Christ who lives in him. Consequently, his knowing of that causes him to know, understand, that he has need of nothing. If Christ is the allness of God and he dwells in me, he would say, and he dwells inwardly, the allness of God, what is it that I need? I know sometimes our natural mind just says no to that, but it's a reality nonetheless. So we want to look as we go along the exceeding greatness of his power. And in order to do that, let's look first, as I said, here. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Then, what is newness of life? That's, and the best place to go for that is in the scripture, but even when you get there, you have to just sit and say, Lord, let me get more than a natural definition out of this. Because just to do that, I looked it up in dictionaries. And I smiled when I did in some of them, because I thought, oh my, it's got to be something greater than that. And of course, it is. Newness of life. Not just another life. Now you think about it. Most of all, well, we who are sitting here as Christians, you who are listening are Christians, and most of us know Christians, you know. Even in different church associations, we still know Christians. How many of those Christians are those precious, let's say, born-again Christians? How many understand the newness of life? Because most understand things about salvation as related to sin. Related to sin, what they don't do anymore, what they, you know, what they're not, what we're saved from, what we're gotten out of, and all of it. Okay, wonderful. What have we gotten into? Where is Christ? Well, brother, he's waiting someplace, and then one day he's going to come. He's in you now. He's in you now. And it is the mind of the Spirit and the ministry of the Spirit to show him to the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our soul, that we may know the one who is in us, and that we may know who he is, and begin to walk in that assurance. Begin to walk in that assurance. Newness of life, because of who and what it is, we can say, is not just another life. It's not just a better life, or a life that is improved. It's not a better person. And it's certainly not a reformed life. A reformed life. So much of Christianity as a religion is based upon a reformed life. Sometimes you'll even get a pamphlet from them telling you a number of things that you cannot do any longer. Or there's some things you can't wear any longer. And there's some clothes that you need to reform those clothes. And that's something you have to do to be there with them and to be received as a Christian. And there's very rarely, if ever, anything said about Christ being our life. No, it said that you've got to have a better life. You've got to live differently. You've got to live like Jesus. Yeah, well, first you've got to know Him. And all of that. That's not newness of life. And the thing that really got me and still does here is here in Romans and in which Paul wrote is the use of this word. Paul uses the term new birth. Well, yes, new birth. New creation. But here there's this term newness. So it's not just another life, a better life, an improved life. And maybe all of these things outwardly do take place if Christ is truly your life. Well, fine, but you can't substitute that for actually having Christ in you. I mean, you can straighten up and do better. There may be somebody who has enough power or authority over you to make you do it, regardless of how old you are or whatever. But that's still not the thing. That's still not the life of Christ. So what is newness of life? Well, it's a life never existing before. It's a life that we've certainly never had before. It's a life that never existing before. The life that dwells in us, hon, says of Himself. Let me just use my language. He says Himself. I'm before all things. I'm beyond all things. I am Alpha, I am Omega, I am first, I am last. there has never been a life before life. And that life is the very person, the very spirit of Christ Himself. It's not something that He would have you to do or not to do. It's who He is. See, hon, we add so much outwardly, or we add so much to Christianity, to what we say is being saved. And it's all things that we can either do, or things we should not do, or things we have done and should never do again. I mean, it's always in that realm. And the church world accepts that and exhorts that. I mean, has you to stand up, even some of the Pentecostal church will have you to some stand up and testify about something like that so that everybody can hear you and, you know, and praise the Lord with you. And there's nothing wrong with praising the Lord if you're truly praising the Lord. But just to talk about, you know, what you do, or I say again, what you don't do, and never comprehend life. And if you really get pressed on that in most Christian circles, if you ever really get pressed on that, then, you know, of life, or what is it that it'll finally come down to someone saying, well, one day, and there we go, one day, He's going to do this, or He's going to do, and it always comes to that. Or, well, when you die, and then they go from there. And they're talking about a bodily death. They're talking about a physical death. But Paul here says, newness of life. Newness of life. Jesus says, I make all things new. And he doesn't make old things new. He takes away the old things, the first. He takes away the old that He may establish the new, or He takes away the first that He may establish the second. It's Him. In whatever way we want to form that. Old things are done away. Behold, the new is come. Now we'll look at that in the scripture in a moment. Also, Jesus saying, I am the resurrection and the life. And He is the resurrection and the life. And He liveth in me, He liveth in you. Paul comes to this same, he speaks of this same life when he says, and it's in it's in Galatians 4, and I'm pretty sure that's in Galatians 4, is it not? Galatians 4. I think that it is. It's Galatians 2. Galatians 2. Just dawned on me, that's the code to get into my That's the code to get into my computer. So it's Galatians 2:20. It's actually 19, 20, and 21 that Paul says, there, he says, I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Now, that'll be something in just a moment, regardless of me running out of time, which I will do. Because when you think about newness of life, then we're going to have to come to an understanding that if this life is not just me acting better or me doing this or me not doing that, if that's not what this newness of life is about, if it's not about me straightening up, if it's not about me being reformed, that I just don't do that anymore, I don't do it anymore, and on we go. Now, there may be things that you don't do anymore because you know that it's going to kill you if you do. But I'm talking about making that our salvation, making that the life that we now have. We just become a better person. Well, good for you. But that's still not eternal life. That's still not newness of life. We're going to see in a moment, and we'll see as we go on, that one of the things about newness of life is that newness of life comes by death. And that's the only way it does. That's why the door into life, darling, and even for the Jews back in the day when they were coming out of Egypt, that they were coming out, there's a door set before them, and it's the door that had the blood on it. You know, they killed the lamb, put the blood, and then they went through the door. What did they do? They entered in by life. What was the result of that? Well, they were raised up the next morning. The result of that was they were a type of resurrection, because they were also a type of Israel is my son, even my firstborn. They were a type of the resurrection. They were a type of the only begotten of the Father. They were a type of the resurrection and the life, raised up out from among the dead. They were a type of all of that. But in Christ, there is no type. There is no shadow. We have come to that very one who is that very life, darling. It's not what you have come to is not something you've done. What you and I have come to is who He is. Oh, He has done things, but He Himself is actually the doing of it. It's just Christ doing who He is. He died. Died unto sin, yes, but He died as the death of sin. Oh, yeah. He robbed it of everything. He brought death to death. He brought sin to death. Coming to this newness of life, hon, we come through the door of His death. And we are raised in resurrection. but the resurrection, which raises up, quickens, and brings to life our soul, that resurrection is Christ Himself. Look at verse 5 on Romans 1. It is said here in verse 4 that we should walk in newness of life. But I want to show you something in that next verse. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. You can, if you just want to be really correct on this, you can mark out in the likeness there. We shall be also of His resurrection. In the likeness was even a phrase that was added. And you can find that in any good commentary. It was added. It's not only not the original, it shouldn't be there in the first place. We shall be also of His resurrection. Do you know, darling, because of the newness of life, do you know? You know that if Christ had not been raised up out from among the dead by the glory of the Father, there would be no life for you and I. There would be no eternal life. There would be no ever ongoing life. There would be no life. See, life Himself did that so that He could live in us. And that's what, if you just read in Romans, you just keep getting into that very thing. So the thing I at least want us to remember, and just to have it in our minds, that newness of life only comes by death. But see, that's not me waiting around until someday when I die, then I'll go to heaven. See, got all of that. That's not what we're talking about. It's not about physical death. It's about coming by the way of the cross, by the way of the Lamb's blood upon the door. We come by new birth. But new birth is gathered into all of this as well. Because new birth is not me living again. New birth is Christ living in me. Why? Because He is the life that liveth, and there isn't another one. Even born of a woman, even me being born as a human being, I really did not have life. I lived in a body. I functioned. My heart beats. It still does. But I did not have life. No. I was wrapped on the bottom with the hand of a doctor, and I began to cry, and everybody rejoiced, and okay. I did not have life. John says in one of his epistles, he that hath Christ hath life. He that hath not Christ hath no life. Hath not life, L-I-F-E. And see, that's newness, newness, newness. Newness is, see, to where newness of life, to where that life can't just be said to be, well, that's, you know, that's an earth life. That's a soul life, or that's a natural life. No, newness is the thing that comes along and says, here's what it is. Newness of life, darling, is Christ Himself. He is the life before all other kinds of life, all other states of being. He is life. He is life. So, we shall be of His resurrection. He is the resurrection and the life. So you see, hon, when you and I come to Christ, when you and I are born again, and I'm staying away from right now our baptism, because our baptism is into His death. And that's right here in Romans. We have read that. So many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into His death. We do. There we are. But you see, resurrection is not us coming out of His death, us living again. No. It is Christ. It is Christ. Because we're not talking about in John or in Romans, Paul's not talking about dead in sin here. He's talking about dead to sin. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer? Well, I didn't know we were. Do you not know? Do you not understand that as many of us are in Christ, many of us as we're baptized there by the Spirit of God, do you not understand that as many of us are baptized into Christ, are baptized into death, that like as Christ was raised up out from among the dead to the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, then we shall be also of His resurrection. Verse 8 there says, now if we be dead with Christ, see, death, just as the life, is fulfilled in Christ. Honey, I could have never died for all men. I couldn't even die as me. Not having anything to do with salvation, not having anything to do with resurrection. No. I can die physically. I can quit breathing. Certainly. But the death He is talking about here knowing this, verse 6, that our old man is crucified with him. That the body of sin, it means the whole Adamic body, the body of sin might be destroyed. But henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. See, none of this has anything to do with being in sin, dying in sin. No, it's just dying to sin. And that has to be by the death of Christ. Because Christ took it all into himself and put it to death. He became the death of it. And Paul even say out in the Creed, he became the death of it. He brought it all to its nothingness, to its death. As it was appointed unto man once to die, so Christ died. And we can go ahead and look in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 14 and 15. Tremendous verses there. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. But this is, it's not talking about, again, somebody who died in sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Now, once again, hon, and there's maybe 5 minutes here. That I'm not going to get all bent out of shape over that. We need to look, but just stay in this. Just stay. We don't need to get out of Romans 6 right now anyway. We have to bring a lot of things into Romans 6. I've got stacks of it. But it's got to be done. We need, honey, to search the Scripture, not just read the Bible. And therein you will see Christ. Where is he? In you. And you do have eyes to see him. They just need to be enlightened. And that's by the Spirit of God, because your natural mind cannot bring, your natural brain or your natural mind cannot give light to your soul. It's Christ who is the light of life and the Spirit of life. Well, all right. But I wanted to show you right here the kind. If we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Now look into that, Dart. Is he your life or not? Is he your life? Body of Christ, you that are watching right now, is he your life? If he is your life, he can't be your life and not be in you. He is life, all right. But he can't be your life and not be in you. So I'm asking, is he your life? Is he dwelling in you, darling? Are you born from above? Have you been you know, then so, then you have been baptized into Christ. It's a work of the Spirit of God. So, Christ Himself is in you. Why does that make this so great? Death hath no more dominion over Him. That's why it makes newness of life so great. Because newness of life, it's new because it's not me. It's new because it's Him. It's newness of life because I've never lived that before. It's newness of life because He is the very substance and person and spirit of it, and has never been anything other than that. My Lord, the only thing that hasn't been is Him in me. But there's never been a time that He hasn't been who He is. He's always been who He is, and He shall always be who He is. He who is, was, and is ever, ever, ever existing, ever living. Oh Lord, hon, we're talking about, but you see, eternal life, and it is eternal life, but we talk a lot about, or the Christian world does, eternal life. But all you pin them down on that, or talk to them about that, not necessarily pin it down, just get some answers on it, honey. And it means, well, we're all going to heaven and we'll just never die. We'll just live forever and ever and ever and ever. And how long eternity is, oh, honey, that's not what eternity is. Christ Himself, newness of life, is eternal because the resurrection and the life is Christ Himself, and He is eternal. Eternal. My word. My word. And then verse 10, Romans 1, or Romans 6, from verse 1, verse 10. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. How did he say that to John? When John turned to hear his voice and John saw him by the Spirit of God, all of this was a work of the Spirit of God there on the island of Patmos with John. John didn't go anywhere. His feet never got off the ground. It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God showing John what we read here. And it's called the revelation of Jesus Christ. But that means the opening up, the showing of who He is and what He is and all of that. But you see, hon, there's also a reality of that being done in your soul, in your heart and soul. There is a reality of the very thing that John turned to see the voice. There is a turning of our heart. Paul talks about the turning of that heart. The turning of that heart. Because there certainly is no veil upon the face and person of Christ. So the turning of our heart. That's something Paul tells us. Verse 17. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. Because what did I just get through reading here to you? Verse 10. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth, he liveth unto God. Look at this. Let me read it to you. And when I saw him, because this is the one, but he's been talking about how he was revealed to him. He saw him in a way that he could have never seen him with the natural eye are understood with, and all of that. And that's the way he's been looking at him. And he said, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last." Verse 18, "I am he that liveth." It's always fully impressed me. It's more than impressed me. But oh Lord, hon, when I saw that, "I am he that liveth." There's nothing about that that can mean or be changed to mean, "I'm one of the livings. I'm one of those who lives. I am he that liveth. No one else does." Now that ought to get our attention. Because life, honey, is this one right here who liveth unto God, is one with God. This one now liveth in you. Consequently, you can walk in newness of life. Life, the newness of which, the allness of which, the onlyness of which is Christ. Honey, concerning life, it can't get better than that. You understand that? It can't get better than that. My Lord. I've been in a search, and you know that if you've been getting the monthly series concerning grace and the greatness of grace and the richness of grace, and finally have come to the fullness of grace. What we're talking about right here, just in this little that I have said, hon, we're actually talking about the greatness of grace. The greatness of grace. "I am he that liveth, was dead," brings us back to Romans 6. That's all I want you to do with that. "Was dead," and then the word, "Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death, of hell." There are other translations here that says death, hell, the devil, and the grave. I mean, they just load a lot of stuff in there. Christ has power over all of that. So, hon, the one who lives in you now has already conquered death, has already conquered the death of sin, and has conquered death he has conquered death hell, Satan, the one who had power over death. My word. What a surprise that had to be to the enemy of God. Because the wisdom of God that was hidden and yet revealed in the person of His Son is the cross. No one really knew what happened at the cross except God the Father and the Son. There are a lot of watchers that didn't know. Satan didn't know. No, he tried to give him stuff like a big bag of candy to keep him away from the cross or even going there. Christ went directly. He went from the wilderness directly to the cross. And it is there that the one who saw him die saw all of his power taken away from him. And not only Christ died, but went into the depth. And not only that, came forth in the power of the resurrection. He was raised up by the glory of the Father and the very Spirit of life that is His Spirit, that on the cross He released that He may virtually gather up death and take it to its end. So, honey, if Christ is your life, then part of the newness of that, something that makes it new, not just different, new, is that the one who now lives in you conquered death. That means the life you have has already conquered death. It means the life you have has come out from the dead. No other way for you to get it, hon. Natural birth wouldn't bring it to you. Trying to do better wouldn't bring it to you. Saying that all your sin was forgiven, okay, I won't argue with you about that, but that's not why you have life. It's the life we have. My, hon. In Himself, He has brought us from death unto life. Newness of life. Newness of life. And the exceeding greatness of His power. The one who lives in you as life and life eternal lives in you as the power, the exceeding greatness of the power of God. What a reality that is. Because it's not about you going out and doing something great. It is about the great work of God in you. In you. Well, we'll look at that as we go on with this, whenever I get a chance to do that. If you will read, folks, Ephesians chapter 2. You'll read all of it. And when you pass like verse 10, just keep on going and then really start paying attention, and you get to along about verse 14, then you really need to pay attention. And then finally, but go all the way to the last verse and see, what are you seeing? You are seeing an incredible miracle of the greatness of Christ working in you. Just look at it. You were once part of the circumcision. You were once then an old uncircumcised. You were once without God, no hope in this world. Read that. And then look how you end up. And it's by one Spirit. And that's Christ in you. You want to see the greatness, not just some greatness, the exceeding greatness of His power. Don't start looking around outside of you. No, hon. It's what happens in you. You can't see it with your natural eyes, and that's why the Spirit of the Lord opens your eyes of your understanding and shows you what is the real, eternal, and ever ongoing work of God's power. Oh, we have our this in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power be of God and not of us, and so we do. But I think we ought to take time in the Word and say, Lord, open my eyes, that let me see the power here. Ephesians 2 is one of the places you'll sure find it. Because, hon, if it happened to any Gentile, it happened to you. Happened to any Gentile or Jew. It happened to you. If you're one of the born from above ones, born again ones, it happened to you. What I'm talking about, what you'll read there in Ephesians 2, is your salvation. Oh my. That the Lord would open our eyes, that we could just rejoice in the seeing of what He hath done and who He now is. The Lord bless. Thank you for allowing me to do this and just sit down and get part of it shared with you. May the Lord richly bless you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for that. Thank you for watching. Thank you for sharing it with others. Thank you for helping us share the reality of Christ. My. To share that throughout the church and around the world is such a tremendous blessing. Thank you. Thank you for helping us do that very thing. Come and see us whenever you can. Come and visit with us. We'd love to see you where we may be somewhere ministering. But we're always here, and we're available through our website and through the internet. And we just love to have fellowship with you in that way as well. The Lord bless you. Amen.